This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom and Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Welcome back to Mom and Mind. I'm your host, Dr. Kat. On this episode today, we are talking with Kelsey Hammonds. She is a licensed clinical social worker and certified perinatal mental health therapist in Arkansas. I'm really grateful that Kelsey is coming on to share her experience because she had been previously trained in perinatal mental health prior to having her child. And I think it's a really important perspective for us to all be hearing is that somebody who has been trained in perinatal mental health can still deal with perinatal mental health conditions. It's totally possible. It happens to many people. But there's an idea that we still carry as therapists that because we are trained in things that we shouldn't be experiencing them. And that just simply isn't true. We're still human. We still go through things. And it can be hard to manage even with training because it is very different when you're going through something. And Kelsey shares her experience with us today and helps to highlight what that can feel like and be like. And I know that a lot of people, a lot of therapists in particular who listen to this podcast can identify with this. It's also true that a lot of people in helping professions in particular have a harder time sort of being okay, quote unquote, that they are dealing with something and getting help for it because we are trained to be taking care of other people. But I believe that Kelsey brings a real human and empathetic and relatable side to this experience. Kelsey became a mother in early 2020, and her entire postpartum experience was during the height of COVID. Although she was trained in what to look for and supportive tools to mitigate postpartum stressors, she struggled with the additional unpredictable layers of stress that came up as she went through her healing process from her traumatic birth experience, all while navigating the collective pandemic trauma that was being experienced by so many of us. She attempted to find her own rhythm and regulation during this isolation. She felt as if she was mothering against the current. Kelsey's own experience lit a fire in her own work, to listen and support more women during these transitions, as well as help them feel more connected and regulated. Kelsey is sharing with us today what her journey was like and some things that she learned along the way, and as well as how she's now integrating that into helping others. I really enjoyed this conversation with Kelsey, and I hope you do too. Let's meet her. Welcome, Kelsey. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Dr. Kat. I listen to your podcast all the time, and I just want to say that your stories that you share are so empowering, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to share mine.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I know for some people, there might be, except for maybe therapists, but there can be some hesitation to listening to people's stories, because especially if you yourself aren't quite out of it yet. But sometimes hearing the stories is what can help you get out of it a little bit more. So I appreciate you wanting to come on and share, especially because you're a therapist in this field, and it can be hard just as a therapist in general to go through this. But I'm interested to hear your journey through this as a specialist. So yeah, please start wherever you'd like.
Yeah. So I completed my certification for being a perinatal mental health therapist when I was pregnant. And this was in 2019, before we ever knew anything about an unprecedented pandemic. And I had my baby in February 2020 and then was going to take some time off and get back into maternal mental health. And I call this my immersive internship because I felt like I knew all the things, or I was learning all the things. I knew what to look for. And postpartum for me really was kind of a big slap in the face. I was prepared, I felt like, on one hand, and then I was very not so prepared with, probably mostly because of the pandemic. So I had planned for a natural birth process, meaning for me, it was, I didn't really want a lot of medication or just kind of low intervention. And that is not the way things ended up for me. I had a few interventions and I ended up having a cesarean. And of course, my brain's kind of going back and forth. But afterwards, you're like, oh, I could have done this. I should have done this. I could have done more of that. And now it's in a more healthier space where I'm like, okay, if I have another baby, maybe I'll do some things a little differently. But for me, postpartum, I couldn't get over the I should have, I could have, I wish I would have. And having an unplanned cesarean really shocked my nervous system for lots of different reasons. Having a major abdominal surgery and not planning for it, and being a new mom about a month into being postpartum, where I was starting to feel like I was getting my groove, but I also started to notice some anxiety creeping in, is when we got the news that everything was shutting down and there was the pandemic, and nothing was known about the pandemic at that point whatsoever. So of course we didn't have people or guests in our home with the new baby. Our village was already so small anyway, and people wanted to help at first, but everybody was sort of dealing with their own stuff. And so for me as a therapist, I knew what to look for. And I was in the midst of this. I felt like now I can look back and say, like, okay, it was a little bit of a crisis, new mom, learning everything, navigating in the middle of a pandemic. But in the middle of it, I've had anxiety before. I've struggled with anxiety before. I've had depression before. And this, the feelings that I had postpartum were not anything that I've ever experienced. And I had heard people say that, but I actually got it. And it wasn't until a few months after, when I wasn't in the peak of the heightened state, that I was able to kind of look back and be like, oh, I was not myself. And I think it's still taken me a lot of time to become like, who am I as a mom? Who am I? And what is my identity in that normal realm of shifting into motherhood identity? And that itself can be a shock. But I think in the middle of a pandemic, when you don't really have that support and you just had a birth trauma and you're recovering physically and emotionally, I didn't really know where to start. And so for me, I kind of took a break and was taking some therapy. I was doing some therapy and doing cognitive based things and realized that was just not what was helpful for me. I realized I had a whole body experience and that was really what I needed to focus on. And so my experience itself has transformed and revolutionized my entire therapy that I do with my clients because of that, more mind body focused and things like that.
Right. The, all of you went through this for sure. So there are like layers to this for you for sure.
So many layers.
This podcast is supported by Factor. If you want stress-free and ready-to-eat meals for you and your family, then Factor it is. These meals are fresh and crafted by chefs, and all of that means that in 2 minutes, you can be eating a quality meal that you can really taste because it's never been frozen. You just heat and serve. Yesterday for lunch, I had the honey mustard chicken with green beans and potatoes, and it was so full of flavor. And it was also just the right amount of food to keep me going for the day and feeling good with the amount of protein that I needed. And what's cool is I'm going out of town for a little bit, and it was really easy to put the delivery on pause and set it up for when I return. Head to factormeals.com/momandmind50 and use code momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code momandmind50 at factormeals.com/momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. So starting with that unplanned C-section and all the way through pandemic and having to look back. So with your training, you said you knew what to look for. I'm curious, what happened for you like after the birth? What kind of resources or things did you have available to you or in place that would have, prior to having birth and being in the postpartum, that you would have thought, okay, this will be helpful for me. Mm-hmm. But then while you're in it, it was hard to like either remember or access. Do you know what I'm asking? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
the planning beforehand is one thing. And then when you're in it is another thing. So like what was hard at that point for you to even realize you had or could do while you were in it?
Yeah. So I had a doula and I had that support postpartum, which was helpful for navigating things like breastfeeding. And of course, that was all within the first couple of weeks when I was very tearful, but it was still in the realm of baby blues. I felt like this is very hormonal shift happening. Mm-hmm. And I also had the name and number of a therapist that I knew that was specialized in perinatal mental health. Mm-hmm. But I think when the pandemic happened and started and I was feeling the way I was as a therapist, I felt like I didn't deserve help. And I don't even think I really knew that I needed it in the peak of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I relied on my partner for everything. He was wonderful, which was not, looking back, I wish I would have had more support for him. But for physical recovery and mental recovery, he was pretty much the only person that was in our circle. Mm-hmm. It took me a while even to reach out to that perinatal therapist. I did eventually, but even just the thought of any needing medication or needing to talk to someone was really hard because I think during the pandemic, especially, everybody's struggling. Everybody's struggling here. Or I would.
Right.
The clients that I would work with, I worked in an agency setting that was nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So the women we worked with were low income, low house, on the bridge of losing their house. Mm-hmm. And their struggles were different than the struggles that I felt. So I was kind of comparing my own pain and struggle to what was like what I felt like was the time to reach out.
Yeah.
Not realizing that it wasn't normal to not want to even get in the car and drive because the thoughts that I was having was we would get in a car accident or not wanting my partner to leave the house to go to work because I was scared he was going to get in a car accident or not even wanting to walk, getting out and walking by herself because I was like, what if something happens and the stroller skips and I drop the baby? I mean, there were so many scary thoughts that I knew Karen Kleiman, that reading all the books, scary thoughts are happen, but when you're going through that, when you're having these scary thoughts, you can't just tell yourself don't think them or that they're normal or that they happen. You feel that they're real. You feel that it's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. That. Thank you for that. I appreciate you kind of giving that part of you that you would hope and feel and think would be sort of on board, that the ability to like think logically and use your skills and all of this stuff is really hard to access when you're like, it's almost like you're in a tornado or a storm and you can't quite remember that somewhere else there's not a storm.
Right.
It's hard. It's really, really hard to even recognize. And I think it's especially hard for a therapist doing what you're doing, like the comparison, like not everybody hears the stories that we hear all the time. So you have this point of reference that something could be worse than what you're dealing with.
And your brain, although it felt distorted of like the fearful, scary thoughts, there was also this like irrationally rational part that was saying, it's not that bad, you know, kind of gaslighting yourself.
That
where
is true.
I went back and forth between wanting to reach out to this therapist, I kind of for months and eventually did, especially before I went back to work. And I felt like that was helpful, a helpful start to things.
Right. So at what point, I guess, going back to what you were saying, that it's not that bad, kind of a feeling. I like how you said that, gaslighting yourself. It is like that. Like something does not feel right and does not feel okay, but talk yourself out of it. What finally helped you or prompted you to get help?
I don't know. I feel like once I started to be able to kind of we started going on weekly walks, my partner and I, with our baby. And I started to realize that that was helping me, just getting out, physically moving, and then feeling safe enough to do that.
Yeah.
And we would go to parks. And of course, this was like at the very beginning of the pandemic. So we were like, should we wear a mask on the park trail, which added heightened anxiety for things for sure. I think once we started to do that, and it had been about 6 months, and I was still pretty fearful. And I was like, okay, I can't tell if this is postpartum anxiety, pandemic anxiety, generalized anxiety, maybe all of the above, but I need to probably talk to somebody. And for me, I had struggled with hormone issues in the past, autoimmune thyroid issues. So for me, I was really passionate about making sure people got their levels checked. And so I get on these health kicks every now and then where I'm like, okay, I'm going to do all the things. And that was about the time, I think it was in the summer, and I was saying, I want to make sure that I have the levels checked. I want to make sure going into the fall that things are okay before I go back to work. I want to have plans in place. So that about 6 month mark was when, and I was working, I should say, I was working, but I was working from home with my daughter. I didn't have to go in person back to work until 8 months. So that was great to be home with her, but had its own struggles too.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then returning to work. I mean, 8 months later, we're still in it. We're still, like, very much in the pandemic, right? So you had mentioned a couple of times the hypervigilance, the kind of constant worry, and I guess because as a therapist, you're a little bit more able to try and categorize stuff like
you know,
generalized anxiety, postpartum versus pandemic now, but in the moment it just was happening and you were or earlier on, it sounds like at the 6 month mark you started to kind of get better or rather reach out for some help. You mentioned a couple of different types of like intrusive thoughts that you were having, and I think also alluded to that feeling like a very real fear. Didn't register as like, oh, well, that's an intrusive thought at the time. How did you cope with that?
So eventually the heightened anxiety did go away. I don't want to say it went away on its own, but it seems like the more rational side of my brain actually did have a chance to turn on. So eventually I did have the part of my brain that said, okay, those are just thoughts. thoughts are just thoughts. Like, I was able to actually do that. But what I learned, and this didn't come out until later, was I started to kind of learn more about the nervous system and learned that I was in a very fearful state. I was in fight or flight, mostly frozen, really. I could feel very activated, but I didn't feel like I could move or do anything about it.
Yeah.
And this is a trauma response. And so looking back over my own course of my life and then knowing that I just had this baby in a traumatic way, for me, it was a lot of things started to kind of come out as I was processing that I didn't really ever think I would need to process, if that makes sense. So I'm sure you hear this a lot, but as a mom, when you start to become one, you just things that you were exposed to or values that maybe your parents had, there are different things that come out that maybe even become triggers to you as you are raising your own children.
Yep.
And just different things throughout my life, I felt like started to kind of come out and process in these ways. And so I knew my body was ready to process these things. And I say my body because it wasn't just in my brain. It was this physiological experience of pregnancy, birth, and now healing as a mom was, I could tell it was, I needed something different, more physiological. Mm-hmm. And so I actually ended up getting a therapist that was trained in somatic experiencing. Mm-hmm. And this didn't happen for a while, but I finally got in with her. I was on a wait list for a very long time. And it wasn't just, do you feel anxious? Like, where do you have this anxious thought? It was, how does that make you feel in your body? Like, what do you think you're anxious? Okay. Where do you think that you're anxious in your body? So she would drop me back in every time I would say, like, I think I feel. It was more like, okay, where do you feel? Mm-hmm. And that really started to help because I could really start to process, one, where these thoughts and fears may have came from, but more importantly, how to process that out through my body, which is where the fear was held, if that's making sense.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Right. I'm glad that you brought it back to the body, some experiences that you were having, realizing that it's not just it's so hard. I mean, even the language that we have for what we experience is so separated in some ways. So the therapy that you're describing really is separated, meaning mind and, as if mind and body are separate.
Right.
But that idea of like kind of dropping back into your body, I'm wondering, like, for people, sometimes for people who've had a traumatic experience physically as well as emotionally, it can be a little hard to go connect with body stuff, especially if it's connected to other stuff like from previously in your past. But it sounds like you got a lot of healing at the same time.
And that's kind of the premise, is to not go too much too fast too soon, you know. Something that's why I think this work is really, to doing it with somebody who's trained is really great, because I was able to really feel safe enough and feel like my body was being heard. Like, even if I was saying, yeah, we can keep going,
right,
let's pause for today, like having somebody be able to take my body safety into consideration, because it's a very powerful therapy and I love it. And at the same time, I think that there is a lot of mind preparation that goes into it. But what I've learned is that your body's already has experienced the worst, or is currently, if you're in that trauma state. Mm-hmm. And so addressing it in that way, the bottom up, you know, your brain is up here telling you all of these things. And if you can drop in, it can really help those thoughts sort of, I don't know if water down is the right word, but sort of flush it out a little bit, allow you to really see, okay, this is where I'm feeling anxiety in my chest. Maybe if I open my chest up a little bit, or maybe if I spread out a little bit and tend to that feeling and sensation, I can shift. And if I notice that tiny little shift, noticing the tiny shifts is really what helped me. So if I was feeling at a 10 and I was like, my intrusive thoughts are here, and I still, we're human, sometimes I do feel like at a 10, I can say, I'm feeling really dysregulated. And I have tools now that I've practiced well enough that I can just go outside and make a little shift, take a breath of fresh air outside. Now, what can I do? Now that I've come back down into my brain a little bit, now that what's something else I can do to feel a little bit more of a shift?
Sure.
So,
Yeah, I'm thinking, especially with what you're describing, that like freeze response, it can feel really difficult to be unstuck from that.
I'm falling.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you've learned quite a bit of for yourself in your own healing journey. You've learned tools, and you said that has also. What kinds of other experiences did you have? Kind of learning how to, like you said, unfreeze or thaw mm-hmm. in your experience, like of the physical stuff.
Yeah. So the cesarean itself being on an operating table, especially if you're awake. It's a very bizarre experience having a cesarean for those of us who've had them. You're awake, you're about to have a baby, you're getting cut open, and you can't move the rest of your body. You're frozen. And I didn't realize until later, way later, that frozen physiological state had an impact on my nervous system. Mm. Being able to name it and then kind of going back and process some of that was really monumental for me. And when I was ready to finally process some of that birth experience, I would have this physiological pain. I would have the physical pain when I was postpartum because I had just had surgery. And anytime I would feel the pain, I would have an emotional release. I would cry. And this was also maybe some baby bluesy hormone mm-hmm. stuff, but I was already starting to feel that physical release. So that sort of led me into, okay, there's something deeper going on here in my cells and in my body that wasn't just here.
Mm-hmm. So as you're talking about your experience, obviously we're getting just kind of parts of it here, but having training in this specialty specifically mm-hmm. and then going through this while you have some knowledge of what you're going through, like after you started to understand what was going on, what was that like for you to kind of be putting all of this together as someone who has the training and is going through it?
I think in part it was empowering, although I don't feel like that was the first emotion that I felt. Way more on that side of things now. But it was also, like we mentioned, I felt like I was gaslighting myself a lot and wondering, like, am I just making things up? Is it really that bad? Maybe I don't need this type of support. Maybe I can handle it on my own. Mm-hmm. And then I would also have the things that we tell our clients. You are good enough. You are just you doing what you're doing with your baby. You are good enough. You already are. And I could say that. I was literally having conversations with other women while I was in the midst of it and knowing very well that I did not feel that way about myself. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of also another pivotal point where I was like, I don't feel like I'm in a space where I'm actually able to practice what I preach. Mm-hmm. I don't know if even what I'm doing with my clients is good enough because I don't feel good enough. Mm-hmm. It was a really hard time to navigate that as a therapist. And then, of course, being therapist in the pandemic.
Right.
I was hearing all sorts of things, which was so overwhelming on my nervous system. Mm-hmm. I definitely took a little bit of a break from that. Things naturally slowed down in the agency I was in anyway. So it kind of helped me to focus on other projects while I was working on kind of my own plan for myself, which I don't think I would have been able to go full on, full practice and be where I'm at now if I wasn't able to have that.
Right. So looking back on it now, do you feel more like you can practice what you preach, sort of a thing?
Yeah, I think learning nervous system, like I call it nervous system literacy, but just becoming more literate in the nervous system, being able to help myself name where I'm at in my state and then naming something that can help me regulate has been really if you ask any of my clients what we work on, like that's kind of the foundation there. So I tell my clients, I would never show you anything that you can't do without a baby on your hip or a child present, because I know as moms, we don't always get that break. Right. Whereas before I might have suggested things that were probably pretty impractical because I wasn't a mom myself and wasn't going through it myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you have to actually go through some things by yourself to know how to do this work.
Right.
But for me, I felt like I am being so genuine because I can say I have gone through it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And these skills, I've seen other women be able to use these regulation tools that I might offer, for example, mm-hmm. to support themselves.
Yeah, great. So
I started to work more with my body and pay attention, and walking was a really great tool for me. So taking those afternoon walks, like I said, I would look forward to that at the end of the week. I started to take more of those on my own with my baby, and learned later that bilateral stimulation, the right-left movement that walking naturally gives you, is actually a really awesome tool for trauma. Trauma-focused work or processing trauma. And for me, finding a healthcare provider who actually listened to me was really hard. But that
are you talking about just like a general, like a physician or
any? Yes. Uh-huh. Without someone, I wanted to get my hormones tested. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get my thyroid levels, like the full panel. Mm-hmm. I felt like it's always been kind of hard to advocate for what I felt like I needed without a doctor or healthcare provider treating me like I just read something on the internet and mm-hmm. didn't know what I was talking about. However, just having healthcare providers that I finally have found, and I've accumulated over 3 years. This has taken me 3 years to find a team. Mm-hmm. I actually feel like I'm on the pathway. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I feel like I'm actually being listened to. My whole body is being listened to, which I've listened to your podcast where you talked about unwell women, mm-hmm. or I think that's what the book is. And yep. That really resonated with me because I felt like I've had mystery symptoms and people were like, you're fine. I was having autoimmune issues. And so getting my thyroid checked, getting my hormones checked, realizing, okay, there are things here that are out of place, but that was empowering because yeah. I had now things that I could see on paper and have from that functional lens be able to kind of say, okay, optimally, my body isn't in the right place, which makes sense why my mind doesn't feel in the right mm-hmm, place. Mm-hmm. So yes, working out, but really working out from like, what does my body need today? It could be I can roll around on the floor, or I might need to lift some weights, or mm-hmm. really focusing on what my nervous system needs mm-hmm. has been just listening to that and giving that credit has been really pivotal for my entire mental health.
That's fantastic. And with all of the skills you learned and are learning, I mean, not to say that, like we are all still learning. Mm-hmm. What have you seen? Like, if you were to tell like you while you were going through it, mm-hmm. what you know now, or like, what would you give to yourself now if you could go back?
Yeah. Oh, so in meditation work and visualization, I do sometimes do this, kind of go back to that self and sort of just I envision myself being nurtured with the village that I felt like I needed that I didn't get. Yeah. So that alone, if I would have had that skill or even been able to imagine that, maybe that would have helped. But noticing those shifts, like I talked about, like having the knowledge that I can notice a tiny shift. And once I notice that shift, I might be able to shift a little more. The things that I was already doing really were good enough. Like I was noticing those micro moments or those micro doses mm-hmm. of safety that I like mm-hmm. to call them, with my baby smiling and laughing and getting to spend those 8 months with her, even though I was in fear. But knowing and going back and looking back now and being able to say, okay, but there were those beautiful moments. And I do believe that I may not have been fully present for, but I have pictures and videos, and I'm so thankful that I took those because I can go back and I can see that it wasn't all bad.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck. And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it? We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. Mm. So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Even if in the moment I felt like things are really scary, but just telling myself, notice those moments, and then also that it's okay, that things will get better. I guess I'm thinking of just telling myself if I had a future self coming in at that time. But if someone is listening, is kind of going through that or having these scary thoughts, dropping into your body and really focusing on where in your body sensations are and starting there can be really supportive. Even if it's like, I'm feeling this anxiety in my chest, maybe even putting a gentle pressure on your chest or having your baby and holding your baby and rocking them slowly while you breathe, co-regulation and connecting to yourself. These are all things that I do now with my toddler and they work, and I've been able to show new moms these things, but they're also skills that I've learned along the way that I felt like would have been really nice if I would have had with my first.
Yeah, for sure. I find that that is, and that what you're talking about, like the stuff you would have liked to been able to give yourself at the time, is one of the harder parts of working with moms, new moms, to try and almost like help them learn that they're not bad or they're not failing or that their anxiety is just a function of what they're going through and that their depression isn't who they are. It has such a grip. And you know this from going through it. I know it from going through it. It takes time. It takes time. Like, we can, you know, sit with them, with our clients, and help them understand it's over time. But initially, it just is, the feelings are so big and so overwhelming that it can be hard to believe that you're not all these things that your thoughts are telling you that you are. It takes a long time.
I think understanding things at the hormonal level too, because I mean, maternal mental health isn't all hormones, but there is sometimes it is a big piece. And so for something that I read that I feel like has been helpful for some of my clients that I wish I would have known then, because I felt like I was in an oxytocin bubble sometimes. Like, I loved my child so much. I wanted to just hold her and have her here. And then of course the pandemic kind of ramped things up. But a study I read, and the reviews are mixed, but there was one study that I kind of say to my clients, take it or leave it, if this is helpful for you, that said higher levels of oxytocin in moms was shown in moms who also had like really scary thoughts. And I thought that was so interesting, and being able to have, okay, well, that makes sense why I wanted it. The one thing that I have worked so hard to have in front of me, and we just went through this big birth experience together. I love her so much. I want to hold her all the time. I don't want anything bad to happen to her. That was all reflections of my values, the value of health and safety for my baby. A pandemic was interrupting that value.
Yeah, big time.
So there were lots of reasons now that I could go back and say that's why, like, there was, if there was a high amount of oxytocin, whatever, but the ultimate line was I cared about my baby so much that there was a lot of fear from external fear that was interrupting that. And so that sometimes I tell my clients, there's nothing wrong with you. It's to me, your stressors, what you're stressed about. If we uncover that, we can really try to figure out what those values are. We can identify them. If you're stressed about something, harm coming to your baby, well, a value must be that you want to keep your baby safe. And so we start there. What is one thing? What is one little thing you could do right now in this moment that brings safety to you and your baby? Mm-hmm. And if I would have had somebody to be able to say that and help me name, well, my baby's smile, or look how cute her little toes are, or be able to say, you were up with her at 3 a.m. and now you're up with her again breastfeeding, like, go you. And just to be able to show me those micro moments that I was doing a good job.
Right. That's hard to see. It's like your actions from the outside, people might be able to see you're doing all the things and you're present and you're taking care of your child. But if your internal process is often doesn't match that
and you don't feel it, believing,
right. That is true. It's really hard to feel. So you mentioned a little earlier on that you kind of shifted out of agency work and in part because of what you've gone through and maybe what you wanted to do all along, you've kind of started your own thing. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. So right now I'm in a group practice and we all are kind of contract workers, but my, the name of my private practice and my business is Heart-Led Mental Health. And for me, the name itself means I'm leading from my heart. I'm listening to the whole person with my heart and not just my brain. And I'm not just listening to what they say and writing it all down. Like, I really try to absorb what someone who's coming in front of me is saying, and what, not just what they're saying again, because remember, I would say, yeah, that's fine, but really listening to their whole body. So leading with the heart and heart-led mental health, that's what that really means to me. And yeah, my practice now, I have almost a full practice and it's all perinatal. And I really do feel like I'm in that place where I can actually do this work and I still go see my therapist. I still am processing, but I feel like I'm in a space now where I can say that I'm on like this other side of things.
Right.
Good thing, because it's been 3 years, but it did take me a long time to get there. And it was definitely well over the first year. Like postpartum for me didn't last just 6 weeks and we're done.
It changes you having a child. And there are still things that come up for me, and I'm 12 years out, where I'm like, oh, that might be related. It's just part of being human on a healing journey. That's just, stuff comes up. So what I do find really amazing about the helping profession and people who are doing work like therapists and nurses and other folks who are really having a lot of time with clients or patients, they do this amazing thing where you can almost like set yourself aside for a moment, be present, do the thing that you do. And then when that time is over with the client, kind of come back in to your own stuff or whatever. Everybody has their own process around all of this. But so I'm sort of saying this for clients who are listening, who are seeing therapists, who are perinatal therapists, and us perinatal therapists who maybe are, if somebody's still going through it, obviously, like, listen to your needs. And if it's that, like, as a therapist, you kind of like need to take a step back, like it sounds like you did. But for clients, like, we as therapists have our own therapists, or ideally, or like, we can sit with you in what you're dealing with and still be there.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it can, I think in this particular profession, because like us as in this specialty as therapists, we sometimes tend to identify a lot with what people are going through. But if you've had enough training and you've been in the field for long enough, you know how to like recognize what's yours and what's not and what's the client's. So I hear that that's what you were able to do in your journey.
Yeah. And I think that for me, when I did take a step back and when I did recognize, I mean, I was recognizing that I was not in the place that I needed to be able to hold that space for clients. It was too much. And Yes, I think that's a really good point because we do. We have this magical power sometimes where we're able mm-hmm. to just put it all aside and mm-hmm. do our own regulation, what we need to get our 15-minute break in between sessions and go in. It's a mindset. And mm-hmm. but I do think that the work that I've been doing with my own therapist, even the somatic work, has been really helpful because I can say, okay, I know what I need to do, but what mm-hmm. do I feel? Mm-hmm. And really help myself. And if I need to identify that in session and say, hey, just so you know, my 3-year-old was up at 3 a.m. So if I seem a little spacey today, that's why. And it makes me more real yeah. and relatable. And my clients yeah. aren't taking that personal. I'm saying, yeah. here I am. And that's kind of part of this work too, that I've integrated is mm-hmm. let's call out what we're feeling in our state. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you details of my life, but I can at least tell you what nervous system state I'm in so that we can start to have that nervous system literacy and that conversation, and they can start to identify it for themselves eventually too. And so that's where we are.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and
thank you.
Giving us some insight into what it's like. There are more and more therapists who are becoming specialized in this field. And I think it's really, really important for us as therapists to be able to say, to have a space to know that others of us have been through this. And over time, it deepens your work.
Definitely.
But while you're going through it, it can feel a little rough.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Like a roller coaster ride that you didn't really buy the ticket for and can't right. really get off of, but you're stuck.
Right.
So.
Yep. So you find your way through.
Well, thank you so much. This opportunity has been wonderful. And just being able to share my story and be heard is a really nice feeling too.
Awesome. Thanks for coming. If you'd like to connect with Kelsey, you can find her at Perinatal Social Worker on Instagram and heartledmentalhealth.com. For those of you who identify with this story and think that somebody else could benefit from it, please do share. It's vital that we're sharing our stories, these stories, so that other people know that they're not alone and so that we can continue to reduce the stigma and help more people. Thank you so much for being with us. Until next time.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Please share this podcast. Together we can support moms and families so that no one has to deal with this alone. Come connect with us at momandmind.com.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.